So, Tom, tell me about what happened to you in Vietnam and how long that experience had haunted you.
I spent three tours in Vietnam, the very beginning of the war, the middle of the war, and toward the end of the war. And I spent most of my time in the combat, in combat situations, and I had lots of remembrances of ugly things that I did and other people did to me. And
now, when you say you did, meaning things that we might think of, you know, as torture or trying to extract information or flagrant abuses of non-combatants, can you be more specific?
Yeah. For the most part, I would say that the experiences that I had was going against our society, our moral society, in that I took lives. I aimed a gun, I pulled the trigger, and I wasted people. And that's a true term, wasting them.
But ordinarily, I mean, in a war situation, we would think that you would be comfortable with this if this were somebody who had a gun that was aiming at you.
You might think that, but it's not true.
Interesting.
It's not true. You never get really used to pulling that trigger. It's always a human being over on the other side. It's always a person with a life that you've taken. It's people with a billfold full of pictures and documents in his pocket from his family.
So, but in your case, and we're just trying to understand a little more, this was not like, this wasn't a me lie like experience that you were. Okay. So just even in seeing somebody at the end of your scope and knowing that when you pulled the trigger, they went down and they were never going to get up again, you carried that with you.
Absolutely.
Was there any one particular image?
Yeah, I call it a hallway. There's a door in my hallway. As I go down my hallway, there's other doors in the hallway, and I can open them up, and there's a box. The box is in there, and shelves. And each one of these have an experience. And none of them are good.
How many do you have?
How many experiences?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But more than you...
Never
reached the end.
But I've gotten a lot of benefit and a lot of comfort from the rabbit I've opened.
So tell us about then what happened after Dr. Botkin went through that second procedure that induced an after-death communication. With whom did you speak?
You have to realize there was a number of these things, a large number of these happenings, the incidents. And I've tried before I got to Dr. Botkin, I tried hypnotism. I tried religion. I tried all kinds of different ways to come to peace with myself, to forgive myself for what I had participated in and what I had done personally. And with Dr. Botkin, the difference was that hypnotism, it took me a couple of years and never got anywhere. With Dr. Botkin, it was a matter of being able to spend 25 minutes to 40 minutes. I saw the people. I talked to the people.
You spoke to them in English?
Yeah.
And they understood you in English?
Yes.
Did they speak to you back in English?
Yes.
And what would they have said to you?
They said it was okay, that it was war, and they understood, and they didn't hold it against me because the shoe could have been on the other foot. It could have been me as well as them. And where they were happy, they were confident that they were living well, and they were very happy. And that's what came across to me, was their happiness and their forgiveness.
How many had you had a chance to speak to?
Oh, I can't really tell you that the number. It's probably 30, 40.
Wow.
And that also includes my dad, my mother, and my brother. So it's not only the military experience, but it's also life experiences within within the country here and with our own families.
What did your family say to you?
My mother and my father told me that they were pleased with what I was doing, and they're proud of me, and that they were fine, and everything was great where they were, and they're going to be waiting for me. So I left that particular trauma feeling good, feeling really great, actually. And something I had been worried about for, a number of years. I puzzled over these things and all these other things popping up there, and all these ghosts showing up. I was putting them to rest, and I was happy with what the results were.
I bet you were. Let me ask you, do you really believe you spoke with the dead, as opposed to had a conversation with your own psyche, which was symbolized by the images that had been haunting you?
I asked myself that for a while when I first started. I really doubted that what I was doing was valid. I really thought it was wishful thinking on my part.
Right.
But it wasn't. I found out later that these things came back to me, and they were very pleasant, they were very nice, and I was happy where the people were. So I stopped fighting myself with the, trying to decide what this was. I'm a mathematician, basically.
Right. So not given to flights of fancy like this.
No. It's either black or white, and,
right.
Numerical combinations and preciseness. But again, I can't tell you the results that it has had on me. I was very suicidal, and I haven't had that thought for a long time.
And we're so glad of it. And I don't mean in any way to challenge that experience. And I completely accept
your testimony. I understand what you're asking, because everybody asks me the same question.
But what is it now? How have you changed then, do you think, personally? I mean, you're obviously still a mathematician, analytical by nature. But how have you changed after then coming to terms with the fact that you have had a true and honest after-death communication?
I am much more settled. I'm happy with myself, which I wasn't before. I don't blame myself for most of the things that I did. I say most of them because I still have a little bit more work to go.
Right.
My family life is tremendous. It wasn't before. And like I say, I don't have any thoughts in my mind at all of doing harm to myself.